we're in a series called I Can Manage, and one of the things that I have a reputation for is not wanting to spend money. Well, one of the reasons I don't want to spend money is because I don't want to be obligated to things. I want to be able to give. I love to give, and so I hope that you guys have enjoyed this series. This is our celebration of this series. If you guys notice, there are two pads of paper back for the back section back there. There are two things there. At the end of this, we want to know what commitments you are making. We want to know what decisions God has wrought within you during this series. As you've heard this, we would like to celebrate these with you. We want you to write those down, and it could be anything, but we're going to do that after this message today. And so just be ready for that. Ask the Holy Spirit, what decisions do you want me to make this day? And it's going to be very exciting. So guys, today we're wrapping it up. We started off with, it's all His. Everything that we have is His. It belongs to the Lord, and we need to stop acting like it's ours. It's His, and therefore He can tell us what to do with it because it's His. Then we went into get out of debt, how God's plan for us is not for us to be in debt. He does not want us being slaves, which is what debt is. It's slavery. Remember Deuteronomy 15:6 says, for the Lord your God will bless you as He has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Okay, that's what He wants for you, to be able to lend to many but borrow from none. And most of us are not living under that blessing right now. And then we went into lining up your spending with your... Sorry, I'm feeding back big time. I apologize for that. About lining up your spending with your life goals. Ask God, what are my life goals? And stop siphoning off finances away from that. And starting to put things towards what God wants you to do. And then we went into the series about earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And that was last week. And how many of you guys were here last week? How many of you got to celebrate that with us? Yeah, that was a great Sunday. Okay, so today we're talking about the 10-10-80 plan. And what the 10-10-80 plan is simply this: 10 to God, 10 to me, to you, savings, and then live on 80%. That's the goal. Yeah, 10 to me, Dave. Yeah, send it to me. No. 10, 10 to God, 10 to your savings account, and then live on 80% of your income. That's the goal. That's a great plan, okay? But in order for us to do this, we have to flip around our way of thinking. In order to live the 10-10-80 plan, which is what I highly recommend, we have to, number one, put the big rocks in first. If hey, John, I'm going to take this off. I'm going to use this, if this is okay. Is it okay? Okay. My apologies. All right, so we got to put the big rocks in first. The big rocks in first. A college professor was teaching a time management seminar to his class. His class was some of the brightest and most brilliant students in the university. And he took out a big glass jar, and he took two big rocks and he put them in, and he asked the students, is this jar full? And they said, yeah. He goes, no. And he took out a bag of gravel and poured it in, and the gravel filled in the cracks, and he said, is this jar full? And they said, oh yeah, that looks really full. He goes, He pulled out a bag of sand and poured the sand in the cracks. And he said, again, is this full? And by now the students clued on to, they said, no, he's exactly right. He took out a pitcher of water and poured it all in. And he said, what is the lesson here, class? And the one guy said, no matter how busy you think you are, you can always get some more stuff in there. And the professor said, no. He said, the lesson is this. If you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in. Okay, the Bible identifies the big rocks when it comes to finances. And they're the first 10. It's the 10 to God, known as tithing. And then the 10 to us, which is known as saving. The Bible constantly talks about those two big rocks. And if we don't take care of those first, we'll never get them in. Life will consume us. Life will take over those big rocks like the sand and the gravel and the water will fill up our jar so we can't put the big rocks in. Okay? So the first, we have to put the big rocks in first if we're going to be smart, if we're going to be wise, if we're going to be faithful to God. Okay? Leviticus 27, verse 30 says this. I'm at the first big rock. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or the fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I look at my paycheck, I think mine. I think it's mine. I worked for this. I earned this. It's mine. What does the scripture say? It says that the first 10% belongs to God. It's not ours. It belongs to God. As a matter of fact, it is holy to God. It's not supposed to be spent on things that we want. It's supposed to be dedicated to Him. It is holy. When you think holy, set apart, sanctified, it is something special to the Lord. And maybe a lot of us need to repent of that. We've not looked at the tithe as holy, as belonging to God. Look at it as maybe an obligation or something to be ignored or something to do later on. No, it is holy, Scripture says. That's the first big rock. The second big rock is the 10% to us to save. Remember, Proverbs 21:20 said, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. In other words, fools consume all of their income. They spend all of their income. They let it all go out. That's what the Bible says a fool does. The wise store up, it says. In other words, savings. The Bible also says a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, thinking generationally, not only for their children, but for their children's children. The wise person thinks generationally, and if you don't save, you'll never think generationally. I heard someone say this. He was talking about savings, and he says this, when I die, I ain't leaving a will, I'm leaving a bill. How selfish. How selfish. I'm going to live so large that when I die, other people are going to have to pay what I spent. How selfish of a person to stick it to someone else. Wrong, guys. We must save. And once we put the big rocks in first, then we live on 80. We live on 80%. I want you guys to see my little illustration here. See this right here. This is your income. And I've divided it into tenths, because that's the way the Bible thinks of it. Okay? The Bible thinks of your income in tenths. Okay? Whoops. This is what God wants. We divide our income up into tenths. We give the first 10 to God. We give the second 10 to ourselves. And we live on 80. I just put life. So 80%, eight tenths of your income goes to life. One tenth to God, one tenth to me. I want you guys to think about that. We're going to come back to that. We live on 80%. And you say, well, there's no way I can live on 80% of my income. Well, actually, there is. But it's going to take three things. The first thing it's going to take is going to take trust. It's going to take trust in God to live on 80% of your income. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus says this, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. People without trust in God run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, do you trust me enough to follow what I say? It is not your job to provide for yourself. It is God's job to provide for you. You be faithful to what I say, Jesus is saying, and then let me provide. It's going to take trust. It's going to take trust to live that way. Trust that God has your back. Trust that God will not let you go hungry. Trust that God will care for you if you do things His way. And a lot of us don't have that kind of trust. That's because a lot of us don't really have faith. We have religion, we have beliefs, but we don't really have faith. Religion, booming. Faith, dying. Do we have the kind of faith that the Bible calls for? That's up to you. The second thing it's going to take to live on 80% of your income is self-control. Self-control. One of the fruit of the Spirit that we constantly talk about here at Catalyst: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the signs that you are under control of God, that your life is surrendered to God, is that you have self-control. It's one of the biggest ones, okay? Proverbs 25:28 says this: like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control. I can remember my son and I love Lord of the Rings. We love Lord of the Rings. How many Lord of the Rings fans we have in here? Got Lord of the Rings? Yeah, absolutely. To me, in my opinion, the best battle in the Lord of the Rings is the battle for Helm's Deep in the Two Towers. Can I get an amen? It's an hour-long slaughter, okay? And it's fantastic. It is awesome. I love it. Well, the basis of the battle is the humans and the elves and one dwarf are behind this big wall in Helm's Deep, which is the fortress, and there are 10,000 Uruk-hai, bad guys, ugly guys, trying to break in. And they launch ladders, and they've got a battering ram, and the elves and the humans are just laying waste to them, I mean, right and left, just killing them right and left. It's a slaughter. It's great. And King Theoden looks out, he sticks out his chest, and he says, "Is this all you've got?" Well, right at that moment, the Uruk-hai bring in these big bombs. I guess they knew how to make gunpowder back then, but they stick them in this little indentation in the wall, and they toss a torch in there, and the wall's just blown sky high. And all of a sudden, the Uruk-hai rush in and begin to lay waste to the humans and the elves. Like a city whose walls have been broken down is a man or woman who lacks self-control. In other words, if you don't have self-control, you are available to any kind of evil, any kind of temptation, any kind of thing that Satan wants to throw your way. A lot of you have dreams. A lot of you have goals and visions for your future. If you don't have self-control, your dreams and visions will never happen, because everything, the Uruk-hai will come in and lay waste to your dreams. And we're going to have self-control if we're going to live on 80% of our income. We're going to have to be able to delay getting what we want all the time and not live by credit cards, but live by frugality if we are going to do the 10-10-80 plan. We're going to have self-control. All right? The third thing we're going to have is we're going to have to have the ability to delay gratification, to think down the road, to make the hard decisions now and then reap the benefits later on in life, as opposed to having them right now. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm also a Star Wars fan. What is the path to the dark side? Quicker, easier, more seductive. That's how you fall to the dark side. Okay? And that seems to be what we like to do. We have an inability to delay gratification. We want the car we can't pay for, but we can put it on. We can pay installments. We can go into debt to have it now, as opposed to saving up and paying cash. If we want a shirt, we can just put it on a credit card. Even though if we don't have the money, we can put it on a credit card, have it now, as opposed to saving up and paying cash. We have to have the ability to delay gratification. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this: Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, "Whoever has money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income." Let me tell you something. That thing that is screaming your name, that car, that house, that shirt, that whatever it is, will not satisfy you. It won't. It looks great when you don't have it, and then you get it. And then 2 years later, it's in a yard sale. It will not satisfy you. If you think that buying this thing will satisfy you and make your life, it won't do it. Only God can do that. And we have to have the wisdom and the ability to delay that gratification. John Dillinger, the bank robber, sold about $900,000 in his lifetime. That's well over millions in today's dollars. When he was gunned down in Chicago after going on a date with the lady in red, when he was gunned down, he had 33 cents on him. And some people say, what great timing. But it doesn't matter how much you make, you guys. Whoever has money, loves money, will never have enough. No matter what you have, it'll never be enough. You'll always want more. You'll always need more, just a little bit more. Okay, so let's bring this home, guys. If we're going to live with the 10-10-80 plan, we're going to need trust in God. We're going to need self-control. We're going to need the ability to delay gratification. But guys, I want to take a look at these boxes over here. The average household in America makes about $50,000. Okay, this is Kentucky and Knoxville. We're probably a little bit lower than that. It's probably more like $40,000 per household. But to be safe, let's just say the average income here in Central Kentucky is $36,000 a year. Okay, I did that because I'm not good at math and it works out very well. Okay, that's $36,000 a year. It's $3,000 a month. So this right here represents $3,000 a month. That's about $100 per day. You see that? You guys see my math? It's about $100 per day. That's what the average person makes. So each of these boxes represents $10. See, 10 times 10 is 100. See, I'm good. Okay? So guys, this represents the wealthiest country in the history of the world. This is the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We live in the wealthiest country by far that's ever existed in the history of humanity. Okay, and so many of us say that, God, I can't live on this. I can't do it. It's just too expensive. I can't do this. And so therefore, I have to use what I would be saving for life. And not only that, but God, I've got this tithe that is holy to you, that you've given me specific instructions to do, and I need that for my bills too. I have to have this, Lord. I have to have all of this. And what Scripture says is that that's foolish. You're consuming everything you need, everything that you own. That's what the Bible says is foolish. Okay? Okay. Now, here, let's get some perspective. Let's say the average American lives on, say $10, $100 a day. Okay, this is $100 a day. That's a pretty decent sized box. Well, here's a perspective on what the rest of the world lives on per day. This box right here. 53% of the world lives on $2 or less per day. So this right here is what we make, say, in a day, $10. This is $2 a day. 53% of the world lives on that per day. And the next 20% lives on about $10. $10 per day, not $100. So it amazes me when we in America say, Lord, even though 53% of the world lives on this per day, I need all of this per day to make ends meet. And if you say, well, you know, that's not real. We don't know anybody like that. Yes, we do. When Rachel and I go over to India, Our translator, Jeremiah, has a family of four, and he lives on $47 per month. That's not even $2 per day. And yet he has clothes, he has food the Lord takes care of. And when I see that, and I see people saying, there's no way I can give to God, there's no way I can save, I need all of this, what that says to me is that we lack self-control and we lack perspective. And so when everybody sees this, everybody starts feeling guilty. I understand that. Everybody's feeling guilty right now and everything. But you say, well, I want to do this, but I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Well, guys, that's what the point of this series is. How I'm going to end with this. I want you guys to get serious about getting out of debt. It's serious about getting control of your finances because we are really, really, really doing things wrong. We need to get hardcore about it. Proverbs 6, 3 through 5, or 2 through 5 says this. It says this. If you struck hands in pledge with a neighbor, if you've gotten in trouble, if you owe, he says this, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself, Solomon says, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. In other words, let's get serious, let's get hardcore, let's go and get out of debt and get our finances under control. That's exactly what the Bible wants us to do. All right? And so author Mary Hunt wrote a book called Debt-Free Living. I love this. She writes, for fun, I looked up the word debt in my trusty thesaurus. You want to know what it said? What the synonym for debt were? Here they are. Obligation, encumbrance, in the red, pound of flesh, arrears, inability to pay, built, bound, beholden, up to one's ears, over one's head, mortgage to the hilt, in the poverty trap, unable to keep the wolf from the door, hard up, beaten down, financially embarrassed, strapped, stripped, fleeced, busted. That's what debt is. Those are the synonyms for debt in the thesaurus, you guys. And we're so comfortable with it. You got to get, like Dave Ramsey said, you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Love it. I want you to add up in your mind all the amount of money you spend simply paying off debt, mortgage, credit cards, student loans, auto loans. You got a number? How much are you spending a month? That should make you sick. What would you do with that money if you didn't have to pay it every month? Well, it kills me when I look at this. You know, it kills me. Martin Luther said there are three conversions. There's the head, there's the heart, and there's the wallet. And Sam Houston, the famous Texan, coined the phrase, remember the Alamo, accepted Christ as an adult. And the pastor took him down to a river in San Antonio and said, Sam, when I baptize you, all your sins are going to come out in the water. And Sam Houston thought back to his wild days of womanizing and carousing and gambling and drinking. And he bowed his head in prayer. And the pastor said, Sam, what are you doing? He goes, I'm praying for all the people downriver. And as he was going, as he got into there, the pastor said, Sam, you need to take your wallet out or everything's going to get wet. And Sam Houston said this, nothing doing. If I'm going to get baptized, I need my wallet baptized too. And guys, and if you guys were here last week, you got to see the power of what happens with what we can do together. I want to show you this video. If you didn't see this, check this out. Last week.
What does the pizza cost? This one here would cost you
$14.82. Okay, but just letting you know, there's been a conspiracy going on. Right? We all these people here hatched a big plan, and we just wanted to bless somebody. So we got you this. This is for you. For some of the Lord to send somebody here that you were on his mind all week long, and you're here not by chance or by accident, but by divine purpose. That is all yours from us. We hope you have a phenomenal day.
Well, I got to say, the 29th, I'm getting my teeth fixed. I was on meth for 15 years. Grace of God, got me out of it.
Amen.
$2,500 to get my teeth fixed. I was going to put it on payment plan. But thanks to y'all and grace above, I can put a big down payment on it and it won't put me in a hole.
Awesome. Yeah. So guys, that's what happens when what we do together, we can do together. So my challenge to you guys today is find your good date, your G-O-O-D, your get out of debt date. We don't make decisions because they're easy. We don't make decisions because they're cheap. We don't make decisions because they're popular. We make decisions because they're right. And so here is your commitment time. You guys see there and there and on the back there for the back section. During the next time of worship, we want you to make decisions about what you're going to do financially. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to start the 10-10-80 plan. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm setting a get out of debt date and here it is. Maybe some of you guys are going to get really radical and say, I'm going to sell my house that I can't afford and I'm going to free up hundreds of dollars in a month. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to get a part-time job and pay off my credit card debt. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to start supporting a missionary. So one thing I thought of, I'm going to set aside $100 a month cash and I'm going to tip a waiter or waitress $100 every single month. Maybe your family says, we're going to stop drinking soda and we're going to save $3,000 a year. Yes, $3,000 a year what the average family spends on soda. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to start saving, investing, and have something to leave to my children and my grandchildren. Proverbs 13:22. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to get on a budget for the first time. Start telling my money where to go rather than wondering where it went. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to hold that tithe as sacred. Maybe some of you guys say, I'm going to take Financial Peace University for the first time and learn how to stop wrecking my life financially. Get creative. Get radical, guys. Get outside the box. This is your day. A day to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm going to start doing things God's way. Let's stand up and let's worship. And as the Holy Spirit motivates you, come forward and write down your commitments financially down there so we can celebrate as a church what the Holy Spirit's doing.